police, protect, they patrol, and we've given them the right to use deadly force. Is it used responsibly? Are America's police connected to the neighborhoods they serve? Now, a special presentation, Beyond Officer-Involved Shootings. Here's Doug Wright on KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Professor David Derizotis is joining us here at KSL, Professor of College of Social Work, Chair of Practices at Mental Health at the University of Utah, also a program that he has referred to and we've chatted about, Peace and Conflict Studies. I so appreciate him joining us. We've introduced you to Chief Burbank of the Salt Lake City Police Department and also Sheriff Winder, of course, of the Salt Lake County Sheriff's Department. And we're so pleased to have Juan Manuel Ruiz joining us, who is president for the Latin American Chamber of Commerce. And this is in Taylorsville. And thank you for joining us here at KSL and making time for this program.
Thank you, Doug, and your team for inviting me.
You have joined us at the perfect moment. We have such a wonderful, vibrant Hispanic-Latino community here in our area, and we have asked our listeners for questions and for responses, and I will be most interested to hear your thoughts on this. We're going to do a little montage of these comments here. Let's start with this.
I'm just wondering why. I'm not racist or anything, but when a black cop shoots a white guy or a white person, nothing really happens. But when it's a white cop shooting a black person, everything turns to race. I don't agree. If they were doing what they're supposed to, nothing would happen. I just want to know why it's all about race when really it's not.
And boy, a lot of people chimed in this same vein.
I do not believe this is racial. There are black cops having to go up against black bad guys. There are white cops having to go up against Caucasian bad guys. If you are a bad guy and you don't listen and you get shot, it is not racial. It is because you're a thug. And this racial card is BS. It has caused turmoil in America and we need to stop it.
The much publicized police killings of black people in this country has been pointed at as evidence of racism. And I wonder if you would like, or anyone would like, to talk about how many white people have been killed by policemen this year or in recent times, and if there really is any kind of a correlation.
We always hear how the white folks need to be more accepting of minorities. It always seems to be the white people that are the problem. You're complaining they aren't enough minority officers. Well, they can only hire the people that apply. If you want more minorities, you need to get more minority young people to apply to be officers. I believe this is not a white problem. It's not a cop problem. It's a minority problem. Instead of teaching your young people to fear and disrespect the police, you should be teaching them to respect them, follow their directions, and most of these issues would be avoided.
Well, for one thing, I think those comments indicate we live in a pretty white community. But also, I think there are some interesting points that are there. And since Mr. Ruiz has joined us right now, I didn't give you the chance that I gave the others for kind of an opening comment to begin with. But obviously, a lot of people are using the comparison black and white. But it could be white, Hispanic, white, Asian, white, Polynesian. Could be whatever group, this versus that. Well, what is your reaction? And what, as you speak for and in a very real way represent a sizable portion of our community, just your thoughts in this vein.
Well, so right now it's not the first time I've been asked this question. In fact, it's very normal when there is an introduction of a specific community, and I say an introduction because the Hispanic community is a pretty new community in growth in Utah. In fact, 15, 20 years ago, there were not even nearly as many Hispanics in the state as there are now. So when you have an introduction, there is also an introduction of culture. And Hispanics in every way are learning to be acculturized or to assimilate. Some of the things that I can point out right now is that, for instance, in Mexico and many Central and South American countries, when you are stopped by the policeman remains in the car, you are the one who gets off the vehicle and you walk to the police car to find out why you were stopped. So that is something that if you were to do that here, immediately the police are trained to say, get back in the vehicle immediately. If you're trying to approach a policeman, if he is looking for your hands and see what you're doing with them, and just to give, point out a situation, just about a week ago, there was an individual who was having a heart attack, and this guy was really having some serious issues, so he called 911, and 911 told him to stop at a corner. So he went to the corner, he sat there, and he saw a patrol car. So he thought this individual were coming to his aid, so he got up, and immediately the policeman became very agitated and said, what are you doing? Wait, you stay right there. And then he dropped his glove, and obviously immediately the policeman pulled out his gun, pointed at him, and says, what did you drop? Pick it up with two fingers. So situations like that are very, very tricky for policemen to handle because they don't know who they're going against. And on our side, on the cultural side, it's critical for us to understand where they're coming from and the risks they're putting their lives in so that we can better understand their situation.
We also heard in one of those comments especially where they said, why do these folks, these people, how often do we hear that term, why do these folks not teach their children to fear and disrespect the police rather than to, and I can't remember her exact words, but in other words, obey the police and so on. I'm going to ask you straight up, do you resent that?
No, I don't. I think it's charged with a lot of misconceptions. I can tell you for a fact that in the United States, Hispanics do not teach their children that they need to fear the police. They do teach them to respect them. However, it is normal for Hispanics to sometimes fear the authority because they come from countries where, in many cases, the police and the peacekeepers are, in fact, the ones that are hurting them or causing them damage. So there is a very low threshold of resistance that they're going to have. As soon as they see that they're going to be policemen, they are expecting one of two things. This guy is here to protect me, or this guy is here to hurt me.
And boy, that's unfortunate.
It is,
you know, that is extremely unfortunate. Let's get a response from the rest of the panel. Professor, maybe you could chime in here before we go directly to law enforcement.
You know, I appreciate that your listeners are that honest about, you know, their concerns up at the U. You know, my students, and we talk about these issues all the time, and we're often afraid to admit that, you know, we have these kinds of concerns. So I would say that I believe people do the best they can under the circumstances as they perceive them, right? And this, you know, I've noticed over the years that when, like in my dialogue class, if we invite a group of people of color, let's say Ute and Navajo came in a couple of weeks ago, folks that identify that way, sometimes some of the white students will react defensively or in anger. And one of the things we look at is that it doesn't diminish me as a person to listen to your pain, you know, and for me to notice what's triggered in me that makes me feel defensive or angry, like why is it that I need to make you wrong? How do I feel attacked when you tell me you're in pain? It's possible for us to talk about these issues without simplifying it and making the other group wrong, because I don't think it's ever simple. And I'll say this, that I notice racist thoughts and feelings in me. I was raised on the south side of Chicago. My family was Greek and Italian. Afro-American people started moving into the neighborhood when I was a young boy, and my family moved out to the suburbs, and I heard all these negative things, right? My point is that probably most of us have fears about the other, you know, whether it's people of different color or religion or, you know, or mm-hmm. political orientation. I think it's okay to admit that. It's part of being a human, as I understand it, you know. And I can only do that if I'm in a space that's, we say sometimes, a relatively safe space. So some people now say a brave space, where we can actually talk to each other about our fears, you know. So my guess is, I mean, I've heard these comments too many times in the mm-hmm. classroom. And I think that probably a conversation where, again, you know, people get together and who are different and get to know each other's stories, we might start to see that we're all trying to do the best we can under the circumstances as we see them.
When we come back from this brief break, we'll get the response from our police officers, our chief of police of Salt Lake City, Chris Burbank, and also we'll get the response from the sheriff of Salt Lake County, Sheriff Winder. And while we still, can you stay with us for a moment more, Luis, here?
Absolutely.
Okay. All right, we'll come back. And I'd like to talk more about the challenges that particularly the Hispanic community has, perception. Perceptions, realities that they feel regarding a relationship with the police and more. All coming up here on today's Doug Wright Show, our special town hall meeting.
Beyond officer-involved shootings on KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Great conversation is unfolding here, and I'd like to take advantage of the time we have, and let's go right back to our two law enforcement officers who are here in studio and have spent the preceding hour and a half now with us. What is your reaction to these comments that, you know, minority issues, why is it always about race? Why aren't they teaching their kids to do this? What is your reaction to that? And maybe I'll go with Chief Burbank first.
Well, again, I think some of it focuses on intolerance and the fact that we don't have the patience for people who are different. But I think more importantly, an officer responds to, by statute, by ethical, moral standards, to behavior. And whenever we've run into the realm, and this is immigration and everything else, walked into the realm of we are taking police action because of what you look like, what you sound like, where you might be from, how you dress, that is inappropriate, right? We base our actions on observable behavior. That's the standard in which we develop reasonable suspicion or probable cause. But one of the interesting things about the debate is where did it ever become all right to disobey a police officer? If you're driving down the street and the lights and sirens come on behind you, you don't have the option to say, I don't think I ran that red light, and just keep driving. Right. So when an officer gives you directions on the street and says, I need you to stop, I need to talk to you, whatever it may be, what gives someone the right to say, oh, that's OK, I can just wander on and I'm entitled to do that? We have a social contract. And what is represented is when an officer has to escalate or has force used against him. Well, that's a failure of our system that we need to say, who's responsible for that failure of our system? Yeah. It is absolutely wrong because, as we spoke earlier, the millions and millions of contacts that take place every year without incident are where we should be looking.
You know, for many of us, it was unfathomable to not obey a teacher. And it was much more in vogue to obey your parents at one time. But boy, for me, the thought of not obeying a police officer, as I mentioned to you off the air, it's unfathomable, Jim.
Yeah, no, I mean, concur wholeheartedly. It's just not tolerable, and it has to be ingrained. I want to shift just a little bit and talk directly about the comments you heard, because as the professor said, I don't know if you said it on the air or not, but he applauds them for being honest.
Yeah.
And I think that the comments, because we're getting a lot of that as well. When I go out, people are frustrated, and I believe in our country, one of the big risks here is that this is going to continue to divide us along the race lines because of the perceptions that were articulated there. And here is kind of the sense I get is people say, why do we continue to raise the specter of the past rather than talk about the future? And inherent in this conversation of race is the fact that people say, and I'm going to be relatively blunt here, but, you know, when are you going to kind of get over what happened 20 years ago, 50 years ago, 100 years ago? It's a different day. Can we not talk about going forward? So in those comments, I hear the frustration. Let's start new. Even when they said you're teaching your children, that suggests to me that what they want is a new generation in which I look at you not, sir, as a Hispanic man, but as a man. And you look at me not as a white man, but as a man. And then we go back to this conversation that because we are both men, we're both human beings, then it is intolerable for you to strike me, just as I would be less inclined to harm you because we view each other in that sense. So that, I think, is that really, those comments, as hurtful to some or as unreasonable maybe to others, I think they get at the heart of the matter. When are we going to move forward?
Well, and, you know what you just articulated, Jim, was exactly what Dr. King pled for.
Amen.
Not to see the color of people's skin, but to judge them on the character of their soul. And, you know, to have little children play together and not see black and white, you know, not to see color.
And that's one of the things you learn in the police profession, is it has nothing to do with what religion you are, what color your skin is, or what gender you are. It has to do with who you are as a person, as to how you interact and treat other people.
Is that the belief within the Hispanic community, that the police are colorblind?
No, it's not, and it's unfortunate. It's not, but mostly because there's just like as many misperceptions outside of the community, there are misperceptions inside of the community. In my perspective, I think that sometimes we associate things based on our experiential life, of course. You know, as you grow up, you have a cumulus of all the things that you've lived through, and my cumulus of experience is different from your dog's and from anybody else's. You're just a different person, and your perceptions are different. So, coming from that perspective is this. As Latinos approach a police officer, or they're approached by a police officer, they may be more in fear. They may feel like they have more to lose. Their reactions may be different from those of somebody that is all, their experience with police has always been positive. The second thing that comes into play is that you have a really large percentage of Hispanics who are undocumented.
Right,
in the
state
of Utah. I
was going to ask about that.
So if you just run a red light, or if you were 10 minutes above the speed of, or if you have a light that's broken, and a policeman stops you and approaches you, if you are white in a white neighborhood, and if you are perfectly legal in this country, your level of stress is going to be a lot less than if you're undocumented and you're clearly Hispanic and you're driving without a license or without a driver license. Your level of stress, the way you're going to react, your propensity to flee is going to be a lot higher, even if it's just a minor infraction. So just like Chief Burbank was saying, I think it's important to just look at the whole experience as a whole, and the conversation needs to happen across the halls rather than within the classrooms. It's if Hispanics continue to talk among themselves about what's happening, and policemen start to talk about themselves about what's happening, and white folks are talking about what's happening among them, then there's no cross-cultural conversation. And then the only one way we can make all of these misconceptions disappear is with honest talk across races and across ethnicities.
But this gets back to the professor's cartoon that he brought in and described to us. This gets back to what our, you know, Jim Winder talked about, you know, how we isolate each other. And Chris, you and I have talked about this I don't know how many times. Professor, you've articulated it well. Let's take a brief break. And when we come back, there are other things that are folks out there have left on our answer machines. There are other comments that are out there. We have a caller who is standing by right now that will come and we'll take Alan's phone call too. When we come back here at KSL News Radio, the Doug Wright Show today, and we really appreciate you being part of our town hall meeting.